Welcome to the Closing the Gap podcast series, brought to you by BrandHook and CMO Magazine.
I'm Pip Stocks, and I'm your host for Closing the Gap, an 11-part series about how marketers can close the gap between what consumers want and what business is delivering.
The digital transformation is upon us, yet 74% of senior executives around the world state their understanding of the customer experience as incomplete. This series gives marketers practical ways to build that knowledge.
Okay, this is our last Closing the Gap episode for this series, which is exciting. And today I've got Darren Wallace with me. Hi, Darren.
Hi, Pip, and thank you for having me here with you today.
Great. Darren spent 18 years at Cadbury Schweppes and the last 5 years as a marketing strategy director at Asahi Beverages. So, Darren, can I say that you're Mr. FMCG?
I've definitely grown up in the FMCG world and seen lots of change over a long period of time. So, yes, you can.
Great. We are at our last episode of Closing the Gap. And just to recap on what Closing the Gap's all about, it's been really what we saw over the last 8 months is how a consumer behaviour shift. And we realised that the consumer behaviour has changed so dramatically. We're seeing something like 30%, only 30% of CMOs globally feel like they're ready for the digital transformation. And we find that quite astounding considering, you know, we're in it and halfway through it. If you had to put a time cap on it, we're way, well and truly into the digital world. So the last way to close the gap, which is our topic today, it is what we call marketing a bling. Which is really about your return on investment. And being, as a marketer, we're seeing a shift with marketers getting to the top table and becoming CEOs. But it's a relatively new trend. We think the best way to be able to prove your worth at the top table is to understand what your marketing is doing in terms of return on investment. So we're going to talk about that, Darren.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
So tell me first, what is your interpretation of the idea of marketing a bling and return on investment, and why do you think it's important?
So I think nearly answering your second question first, it is incredibly important. And I think it's important because, particularly from an FMCG background, budgets and marketing budgets in particular are just being scrutinised more and more, and to levels of detail that you know, wasn't happening 3, 5, or 10 years ago. So there's this real sense of what's the money being spent on, why is it being spent there, why are you doing it, and what results are you expecting. And I think the ability for a marketing leader or a marketing team to be able to articulate what it is that they're trying to achieve is incredibly vital if they want to, at the very least, retain their existing budgets or optimistically even grow them over time to help build their brands and businesses. So that's why it's important. And I think, what does it mean? I think that's the challenge, because it can mean a lot of different things to different people. Mm. And, you know, when you look at it, it can be calculated in different ways as well. So, you know, what time frames do you use? Do you assess your return over 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or even potentially over the medium term of 1 to 2 years? Do you think about elements of a campaign, or are you assessing the whole campaign in its entirety? Do you look at the campaign in its entirety, or are you looking at the entire marketing mix and what you're trying to spend money on? So it can mean a lot of different things to different people. And the approach I've tended to take is really making sure what you're trying to achieve as a marketing team is very aligned to your corporate goals and ambitions. And if you're able to talk to the CEO and the executive team about what your marketing strategy is and what activities and initiatives you're wanting to invest behind and how they relate to how you want to grow and develop the business organisationally, then I've found that it's a lot easier to have those conversations around the board table. And that means really being able to make sure your activities are connecting to the corporate goals and ambitions.
Is this something... I was a client for a bit, and I worked at Virgin in the UK. My marketing director he was a sales guy. So he was really big on every piece of activity we needed to present to him had to have some kind of return on investment. And at that point, it was all about acquisition. Is this something, I mean, he taught me a lot. Is this something that you're taught growing up as a marketing graduate in the big companies, or is that just the luck of the draw on who's your boss?
It could be a little of both. I think in large multinational organisations, obviously the disciplines are very strong and there are a lot of effort that goes into the diagnostics that support all your activities and being able to demonstrate how that would return against your consumer metrics. I think that the challenge is how do you translate those consumer metrics, whether it's your conversion of a consumer through their brand funnel from general awareness to, you know, repeat or even loyalty. How are you discussing concepts like the reach and frequency you might be achieving in campaigns or nowadays in digital, the impression served or the likes? How are they actually linking back, though, to how the business wants to grow and perform? So I think there's a balance of, yes, big organisations definitely teach you on what's the results you're achieving in your specific marketing technician or technical aspects, but how's that delivering growth for the organisation, improving the business? And I think that's where you need to be very commercial in your approach.
And we talked before about whether things should be strategic growth or tactical growth. And I think that's the hard bit, is to convince the board that we may not see a return in the next 6 months, but we know, because they've got their own KPIs, right? They want to see quick wins. But it's about convincing them that sometimes that longer term return on investment is going to be much more powerful.
Yeah, I think that PIP is a real tension, particularly in consumer goods, because people are chasing the sales by day and measuring it by day. And, you know, essentially everyone's on an annual performance return or incentive. So when you've got large customers that are able to make commitments around revenue in any given week or month, that becomes really enticing as to how a business might want to focus their efforts. And that's important, absolutely important, but equally, you know, a marketer's role is to build brands for the long term and to ensure the vitality of the organisation for the longer term. So it's how you ensure you're adapting your brands to be relevant and contemporary and modern, not only for today, but for the next generation in many respects. So that takes that balanced approach of, yes, supporting your revenue goals and profit goals of the week or the month or the quarter, but being able to strategically develop the business so that it's viable in the next 2 to 5 years.
Mm. So do you have kind of two pots of measurement in a sense? So would you have your kind of day-to-day tactical delivery plan, like I'm going to, you know, stick it on a gondola end and, you know, I'm going to drive, 100,000 sales out of that, and then here's another pot of money that I'm going to invest into some innovation and pipeline work?
Yeah, I think that's a really good build, because I think it's the discipline from a marketer of how they manage their budget. So I think you do need to demonstrate your understanding of the customer and how you support those immediacy programs and how you're demonstrating that with the business, on delivering the weekly to quarterly results. But you do need to protect your longer term investment funds. And that's where you are trying to, well, it might be evolving existing trademarks into new areas or developing new brands, and how you protect those monies and ensure that you're able to spend them creating longer term value for the business. Because there's many FMCG businesses now that are waking up that have got legacy brands, legacy manufacturing, and are in declining segments because they haven't been able to adapt over time, and they've been drawn into chasing the short-term revenue at the expense of the long-term business development, and find themselves challenged now where so much of their revenue is dependent on very mature, established mainstream brands that are in very low growth segments, and they're struggling with then how do they evolve their business model to adapt to the current trends.
I wonder too, you know, as marketers, we're supposed to be great storytellers. I just wonder, you know, if you tell those stories to the board, can you then bring them on a journey with you, I wonder?
I think that there's this balance of I guess, the dryness that numbers bring, but with that brings the credibility that works at an executive table where people can understand that, and I guess it's a consistent language. But I completely agree with you. It's how you bring those external and outside influences into the business and have them understand. And I think whether as the marketer you're telling the story, or equally what I've found successful is bringing consumers and customers directly in and having them talk about their experiences. I've found that really successful in terms of developing new brands, because it's one thing hearing from it from the marketing team, but there's a completely another side to hearing it directly from customers as they're assessing your new innovation and talking about how it could help their business, or from consumers on terms of the needs it's meeting and the problems it might be solving for them. And it's incredibly powerful to have those testimonials presented directly to a management team, because rather than being able to debate with the marketer directly about the pros and cons, you know, you've got closer to the source, genuine consumers or customers endorsing this thinking, and that's really powerful in its own right.
One of the first ways to close the gap, which you probably listened to, was building a consumer practice. And when we say practice, it's not just popping into doing odd, you know, focus groups behind a mirror. We're talking about properly building insight, longitudinal insight into your customer. And part of that, which we did for one of the supermarket retailers, was bringing 20 customers into their boardroom with their GM, all the GMs. And it's hilarious because, you know, they want to poke them and talk to them. And, you know, these were, we chose female grocery buyers in particular. And these women are fantastic fun. And they were just telling these a group of people, you know, this is what I need, this is what I like. And hearing their own language for them, I think, was quite fascinating.
And it's so hard to refute, and I think you can get, as a business, caught up in what might feel right for you, because you are looking at the consumer or the customer through your own business model. But then to step back and have a consumer without any understanding of how you see business just talk to you about what it is that they want to achieve and why, and why they might love certain products and why that's powerful for them, has a real impact.
We talked to Sandra Arango from Heinz about innovation and talked about it being iterative and looking at the pain points of what hasn't worked, or, you know, what frustrates a customer and the needs that aren't being met. And in those moments, you'll find those really fabulous disruptive ideas that you can create, you know, a great product out of, or simplify a service idea. But you only know that if you actually spend time in their world.
That's right. And I think it's fighting that tension of... do you need to get things 100% right, or are you brave enough? And particularly in large multinational organisations with big brands, they do tend to say, well, how do we get things perfect? But it's fighting with that tension and saying, do you know what, we can take things to our consumers and with our customers that are iterative and allow them to explore, and we can learn through that and become more nimble and be quicker.
Yeah.
And by default, I think for the business, more exciting, because... you know, rather than having one big bet, can you have two or three, you know, smaller initiatives that might grow organically and evolve intuitively with what the consumer's seeking? And before you know it, you've got, you know, the next generation of brands or opportunities for the organisation without necessarily this sense of I've staked the whole organisation on that one activity where everyone's holding their breath hoping for the perfect result.
And it's like a disaster if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's interesting, we said earlier that not historically marketing directors haven't really been able to get into the CEO roles, but we've seen a really big shift in that globally, especially in the States, where marketing directors are now getting to the CEO roles, and a little bit more in the UK as well. Do you think Australia is heading that way, and why should they?
I'd like to think so, and I would be a big advocate for it. And I think why I would be is I think well-run businesses have what I call a big magnet that sits within their organisation, and that magnet sort of sucks everyone into a standard operating practice, and it's there for a purpose, and that's to ensure that businesses run efficiently and effectively. But I think in particular what we're seeing in Australia is over the last 5 or 6 years, that's been the emphasis. Everyone's wanted to make sure that they could run as lean and efficiently and as effectively as possible as as there's been pricing pressures and cost increases and growth declined. How do we sweat what we've got and do it in the most effective way? But to break that magnet and to think differently and to explore new opportunities and have a business development mindset, I think what marketers can bring to the executive table and the capacity of CEO is really exciting, because I think if they can see where the consumer and the customer wants to go, they have the ability to actually visualize how that could come about in terms of business initiatives for their organization, and then inspire the organization to actually follow that path and to invest accordingly. That's where you open up markets again. And I think, you know, Australia's got lean and efficient, but equally I hope that there's a sense of adventure as well that gets into boardroom tables now, and they all want to get more top-line growth. So how do they think differently and behave differently to achieve that top-line growth?
There seems to have been, you know, how, you know, we go through peaks and troughs in culturally, and we've obviously been through a time of quite conservative behaviour, I think, and particularly with business, very few companies taking risks. There's the, you know, the kind of always that background to the GFC, and I do feel like as we're maybe the next 12 months, we're going to see a little bit more risk-taking behaviour, because, you know, businesses have had to pull it together. They have had to, you know, crunch numbers. You know, margins have had to be really tight. But for some reason, I get this feeling, and maybe it's just with spending time with the consumer, because they are a bit more ahead of us, I think, in some ways, that there is a, not a flamboyance, but a certainly a, I want something more than what's being delivered to me at the moment. And I think business is going to, I think there's going to be a shift, and I think that is going to be fantastic for marketers, because we are those people that historically have made those changes and take those risks, and that's what we were taught at, you know, Monash University a million years ago, you know. So, yeah, I think there is going to be a shift. I feel it. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's true.
I think there's a real appetite for consumers for things that are new. Yeah. You know, if I went back 10 years ago, in confectionery or beverages, there was a really tight repertoire. I mean, consumers operated between, you know, one or two or three brands. But, you know, the world's got smaller. They understand what's happening around different continents and different places in the world. They can import things. They can learn things really quickly and really easily. So their appetite or hunger for, well, what's best for me now and how can I actually get that? And that immediacy that's driving culture and that impatience in some respects, I agree with you, consumers will pull businesses into, I can't be complacent with my business model, I can't assume that what's worked will always work, and they know that. All companies that I've engaged with really understand that. If they're challenged in any space, it's, well, how do I move forward, how do I break some of the legacy models and practices that we've had to really explore these new frontiers. But I think over the next 5 years, I'd hope there's a big swing in terms of businesses innovating, exploring new opportunities, exciting consumers with you know, exciting new products and offers, and trying to stimulate that growth again that we all want in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would, just to add to that, Darren, I think the consumer needs to be right at the centre of that piece of work. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
It's really, you're welcome.
Nice to finish on a kind of a discipline, I think, a combination of getting your numbers right so you're taken seriously, I think, at the top table, but also, you know, having the thought leadership and the creativity to be able to see beyond the tactical campaigns and look for the business growth. And as you say, consumers are after some new stuff, so the brands that we're working with are, you know, have really mindful of that now. So thanks for your time, Darren.
No problem, Pip. And my last thought would be, it's far easier to communicate a return on investment when you're getting strong growth. So everyone out there listening, really try to invest for great long-term growth.
Brilliant. Great last thought. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the series of Close the Gap. This is our last episode. We are going to do a second series. We've got some ideas for it, but if you do have any of your thoughts, please email me at pip@brandhook.com. And also, we are running this through the CMO magazine, but also the Closing the Gap series is also available on iTunes if you just Google Brand Hook.